You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Whatamooly, and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding. And coming up for you now, we're joined by Ray Johnston, journalist and Wiradjuri woman, to yarn all things science and technology. Welcome back to the program, sis.
Oh, thanks for having me, sis.
Lovely to have you back again, as we do each week. And first up, you're going to tell us about community-minded people and regions that they've been more likely to wear masks during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, this is one of those things where you look at it and go, well, that makes sense, but there's actual researchers that have looked into proper data to let us know that this is the case. And they used two sets of data that combined previous research on mask usage and collectivism, which is prioritising the needs and goals of the group as a whole over your own needs and desires as an individual. And they looked at whether societies, groups of people were more likely to be collective or individual. And they found that the mask usage was higher in areas prone to that collective kind of thinking in both of those studies. So they did a third study where they used data from 29 countries around the world, and they found the same thing, the association between being community-minded and wearing a mask. And what this study really does is actually highlights the role of culture and how we live in people's response to a crisis. And I just thought it was really interesting.
A very interesting yarn to have on our science and tech segment this week. Now we go from talking about masks and COVID-19 to talking about the maximum possible age for humans could actually be, get this, sis, between 120 and 150 years old. Is this right?
It is right. I don't know. I'm keen to reach 120. I'm not sure 150 would be ideal, but this is an international research team. They worked out a new method using blood tests to work out biological age, where they call the dynamic organism state indicator. That's the test that they call it. So we'll call it the DOSI for short. And you know, changes in a person's DOSI score, they show their ability to recover from things like diseases. And the researchers obviously found that your DOSI score will increase with age due to an increase in how long it takes you to recover from things. So it's all maths. Mm. And using all of these calculations, they have worked out that the maximum human lifespan, it tops out at 150 years old. There's no way using this maths that anyone can get any older than 150, but we do have potential to reach 150 if we can recover from illnesses quickly. So I don't know. What do you reckon, sis? Do you want to get to 150?
No, I'm with you, sis. I think 120 I'd be quite satisfied with. 150, that's just taking it a little bit too far from my liking.
Yeah, me too.
Now we go from talking about maximum possible age for humans to talking about eggs, and we're talking about emu eggs this time. What can you tell us about this story, sis?
Yeah, this is a cool one. So the first ever complete egg from our smallest emu has been found in a sand dune on King Island. Now, this egg was discovered by a local, and it comes from the King Island emu, which has been extinct for nearly 100 years. And the egg, it's about the same size as those laid by the regular mainland emus, but researchers used the egg to calculate that the King Island emu was about 44% smaller than the birds that we see today. Now, it turns out that all of the southern islands, they were once home to these little emus. And the Tasmanian emu is about 10% less in size than the mainland emu. And two dwarf emus, the Kangaroo Island emu is about 25% smaller.
Oh,
and
how cute.
Also now the King Island emu, I know, right?
Hmm?
The King Island emu, it's the smallest of all of the emu species. It's really half the size and weight of a big emu. I just think it's adorable. Unfortunately, they did all become extinct really quickly after colonisation due to overhunting. And they were gone from King Island by 1805. There was a captive pair that they took to Paris, and they survived in Paris until 1822. But the little emus also on Kangaroo Island, they were extinct by 1830. And from Tasmania, they were all gone by 1850 as well. And a complete egg of the King Island emu has never been found before. So it's really important that we've found this now. And I just think that this is a really interesting story. A sad one, a cute one, but an interesting one for sure. The actual embryo inside the egg itself, that's what the researchers were able to use to figure out that this emu wasn't going to grow to a full size. And it matched up with records and fossils that they've found of the actual emus themselves. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting what we can discover from a 100-year-old egg.
Gotta love that story. How cute the smallest emus from King Island sound indeed. Now we go from talking about that first ever complete egg being found on King Island to heading to Queensland to talk about diabetic patients. And it's not good news this week.
No, it's not. So diabetic patients at public hospitals across Queensland, they're not getting adequate care to manage the condition at all. And this is according to some researchers who did an audit of 27 public hospitals across the state. And they found deficits in diabetes management, including high rates of medication error. They found hospital-acquired harm and poor blood sugar control, particularly in patients who need insulin. This is really serious. The researchers also noted that many of the patients didn't get to see a specialist diabetes team member, even if they met the criteria to see one. And the research team behind this, they say that these issues need to be addressed immediately to reduce deaths and sickness and the lengths of stays at these hospitals. So something needs to be done.
Not good news to hear for Queensland diabetic patients. As we know, a lot of our community are affected by diabetes, ACEs.
Yeah, that's right. We do have a disproportionate amount of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that do have to deal with diabetes every day. And it's not an easy condition to manage by any means, but to find out that people even within the hospitals just aren't getting the care that they need, this is something that needs urgent attention.
Well, that's about all for our science and technology segment for this week. I'd like to thank you for joining us, as you do each week, Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist. Thank you so much for coming on the program again.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.